Democrats are becoming increasingly upset that the new Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, is, well, making the government more efficient, cleaning up the bloated bureaucracy.
Because what's happening right now is a hostile takeover of the U.S. government. There's no other way to describe it. happening clearly across our justice system, where just a few hours ago, a deadline passed for FBI employees to fill out a questionnaire detailing their involvement in January 6 cases. In other words,
we're going to be getting rid of the bureaucrats who politically persecuted President Trump and the mostly peaceful protesters that day.
That comes after an unprecedented purge of the FBI on Friday night when the Trump administration forced out top FBI career officials, multiple FBI field office leaders, and a number of DOJ prosecutors who worked on January 6th cases.
Good. And they're still reeling over the slimming down and revamping of USAID, or USAID, the United States Agency for International Development, which basically functions as a gigantic slush fund for bureaucrats and globalists who funnel that money to their often liberal propaganda and intelligence agency-tied causes around the world. And technically, it's part of the U.S. State Department.
Purging of State Department personnel, what does that mean exactly?
Well, if you want to take a look at the State Department, where DEI has been a priority over, let's say, diplomacy in many accounts, I can give you hundreds of examples
of
where they were
authorizing. What proof
do you have of that? Sure. Let's list them off. $500,000 to expand atheism in Nepal. $50,000 to do, a transgender opera in Colombia. $47,000 to do an LGBTQ trans comic book in Peru. $20,000 a pop to do drag shows in Ecuador. Shall I continue with more examples of where DEI was the priority?
It certainly seems like there could be a review of things. Foreign aid, as you know, is less than 1% of the entire federal budget. So we're talking small amounts of money by comparison.
Well, if it's just a small amount of money, then why are the Democrats crying that trimming the budget is tantamount to undermining the Constitution?
We are witnessing a constitutional crisis. We talked about Trump wanting to be a dictator on day one, and here we are.
Okay, let's turn to Marco Rubio, who can give us a sane explanation of what's going on.
Can it be reformed, or does it need to die?
Well, that was always the goal, was to reform it. But now we have rank insubordination. Now we have basically an active effort. Their basic attitude is, we don't work for anyone. We work for ourselves. No agency of government can tell us what to do. So the president made me the acting administrator. I've delegated that power to someone who's there full time. And we're going to go through the same process at USAID as we're going through now at the State Department. I think there are some, this is not about getting rid of foreign aid. There are things that we do through USAID that we should continue to do that makes sense. And we'll have to decide, is that better through the State Department or is that better through something, you know, a reformed USAID? That's the process we're working through. There are things that are happening at USAID that we should not be involved in funding or that we have a lot of questions about, but they're completely uncooperative. So we had no choice but to take dramatic steps to bring this thing under control.
That's right, Ann. Wait until President Trump starts cleaning up the Department of Education, because this is what he had to say about it on the campaign trail.
I will shut down the Federal Department of Education and we will move everything back to the states where it belongs and where they can individualize education and do it with the love for their children.
Perfect. Meanwhile, the Democrat Party is, well, obviously in shambles, and over the weekend they picked a new leader and a new vice chair who you have to see to believe.
The Democratic National Committee picked a new head over the weekend on the matter of the Democratic Party. We saw some stark numbers this week about how the American people view the Democratic Party. You see there, this is a Quinnipiac poll, 57%. Of the American people have an unfavorable view of the Democratic Party, only 31% favorable. This is the worst number for the Democratic Party since Quinnipiac University began asking the question, and it's not an outlier. A recent CNN poll found a 33-year low favorable rating with the Democratic Party. Why is your party so staggeringly unpopular with the public?
Well, Jake Tapeworm, you obviously must not be watching my YouTube channel, because the answer to that question is obvious. And here is how their little party kicked off with a land acknowledgement ceremony.
Welcome. The Democratic National Committee wishes to acknowledge that we gather together to state our values on lands that have been stewarded through many centuries by the ancestors and the descendants of tribal nations who have been here since time immemorial.
Obviously, they haven't learned their lesson from the 2024 presidential election and can't see the massive and rapid cultural shift that is happening. Let's take a closer look at the inner workings of the Democrat National Committee to see just how clueless they are.
So I'm going to, I have a show of hands. How many of you believe that racism and misogyny played a role in Vice President Harris's defeat?
Every single one of them. Those are all the candidates who are running to be the chair of the party. So they can't even admit that their wokeness went too far off the rails, that they abandoned the working class, that they just went insane. It must have just been that racism and sexism. I mean, what's next? Are they going to believe that they just didn't promote enough transgender people into positions of power? Oh, wait, what's this?
Okay, the next person is Carol Abney, who is a Tennessee DNC member. Go ahead, Carol.
We all know that red states need extra help, so my question is for all of you. For the past 16 years, the transgender community has only gotten one at-large seat each time. Will you pledge to appoint more than one transgender person to an at-large seat, and will you commit to making sure those appointments reflect the gender and ethnic diversity of the transgender community?
Okay, we all know what their answers are going to be for that, but believe it or not, things then went even further off the rails.
Our rules specify that when we have a gender non-binary candidate or officer, the non-binary individual is counted as neither male nor female, and the remaining six offices must be gender balanced. With the results of the previous elections, our elected officers at this point are currently two male and two female. In order to be gender balanced, we must have had one male, one female, and one person of any gender.
You know what? I really like this new Democrat Party. I thought for sure that they were going to learn their lesson after the last election, but thankfully, they haven't.
Hello, Democrats. Hey, I am speaking, and I would love your attention. There is a black woman at this podium, and I deserve your attention like the 11 people who went before me. Yes, I am speaking.
They're so dense, they believe quoting Kamala Harris's ridiculous "I'm speaking" line actually means that they're cool.
Good evening, Democrats. Look up here. Three strong black women standing before you. Three black women who, rather than just grabbing a chair, ran for chair.
Te quiero mucho, papa. Gracias por todo. My name is Artie Blanco, Freddie Blanco's daughter. Vote for me for vice chair.
Now, please point me to the buffet. Anti-Second Amendment advocate David Hogg was there, who was running to hopefully be the chair, and had this to say.
Yeah. Are you ready to go on the offense?
Yeah.
Are you ready to go on the offense?
Yeah.
We have to win back our young people. I am the only candidate in this race for any of these positions that is under 30. We had a 20-point shift to the right of our young people. We must show our young people we give a damn about them, that we support them, and we invest in them.
David Hogg is actually only 24 years old, but he has the hairline of a 54-year-old, and the Democrat Party did vote for him to be the vice chair of the party. So this, whatever this person's pronouns are, is the second in command of the Democrat Party. And so the legacy media, with their Operation Mockingbird assets, are desperately trying to find some new faces to lead the new DNC. And of course, they're turning to TikTok.
Not all of us were meant to be Michelle Obama, Jack Schlossberg liberals. Some of us were meant to be Regina George liberals. Y'all did it your way, and we're doing it our way.
Regina George liberals. That was viral TikTok influencer Suzanne Lambert explaining and defending her growing celebrity as a, quote, this is the quote, mean Democrat. Lambert has built a following, you should know, of more than 500,000 on TikTok. Her videos have been viewed millions of times and significantly garnered more than 10 million likes.
Wow, I have nearly four times that many followers on YouTube, and I've never called myself an influencer once. Subscribe to my channel if you're new here, by the way, and be sure to check back on a regular basis because you're not going to find information and analysis like this anywhere else. And head on over to my online store, markdice.com, or click the link in the description below for some great t-shirts. So head on over there and check them out.